Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, 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 we're back. We're black. Ambition. I wish y'all could see how me and Mandy's just pop, locking, dropping it, throwing our backs out.
Give a little shoulder shimmy, babe. Shoulder shimmy. It's the end of the year.
Yes.
Oops.
How are you, Mandra?
The Christmas spirit smacked me upside the head this past weekend, Tiffany.
Okay. You put up the tree and stuff? Did.
No tree because we're going to Atlanta.
Okay.
And my little brother is hosting us and he has a big old house. So we're going to do the tree there.
Okay.
And so we decorated a really tiny tree here, but we did the outside.
Okay,
and,
nice.
I got plans to make cookies and it's the season.
That's good.
Got my gift basket.
You said you get a gift basket?
I got a gift basket.
Oh, yeah. From
our podcast home.
Uh-huh. Shout out to my cheese Cumulus. And my pears and apples. I was like, well, I can eat this cheese, honey. Yes. But I can eat the pears and apples.
Yeah. Delish. How about you?
So I usually the tradition is we put up the tree right before Thanksgiving because we typically host Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So that way it's all pretty for everyone to see. But I wasn't in the mood this year. I don't know. I was just really missing Jarrell hard. And I was like, Christmas is his favorite time of year. Mm-hmm. But I said, like, you know what? Dr. Green always reminds me you can have new traditions. And I thought, mm-hmm. you know what? My sister Carol's kids, Roman and Amelia, had just decorated their little tree because their tradition is to get a real live tree. She gets a little one for the house and they decorate it all excited. And I saw it, we were FaceTiming and I was like, you guys are like professionals. Can you come to my tree? And so they did. And it looks exactly how you would think if a 6 and 8 year old did your massive tree.
Oh, Lord. It's like all the ornaments clustered at the height of 3 feet.
I did let them use their little step ladder. And then, of course, you have to pick them up, each one. Can you pick me up? But honestly, it was a lot of fun. And it's not as fancy as my trees before look, but it's really beautiful.
That's what I embrace the tacky at Christmas time. I am trying to have one of those perfectly, the all whites, the all blues, the color schemes, you know. I love the tacky. It's like the same old multicolored string lights that I got back when I was living in Queens like 10 years ago. The same dollar store tinsel. And I'm handing it to my 4-year-old son. And I'm just like, this is weird, but great. This is what the holidays are all about.
Yeah.
Woo. But like, it's the end of the year.
I know.
So damned if I'm not reflecting.
Ooh.
You know, the first place I started to reflect.
Where?
My investments.
Okay.
I actually logged in and checked my investment accounts, which I have not done. I'm not going to lie and say I waited all year, but I don't think I've done it since before Remy was born. Mm. So it's been at least 6-7 months, probably longer. And they're looking cute.
Okay.
Yeah. Up, you know, she lifetime did. Of the, right? I mean, I imagine yours too, but like, I think anyone who's been heavily invested in the market, like I've always been. And I don't check because of years like 2020, what was that? 2022 was really rough. I feel like I don't check that often because I know it's going to go down. Like it was bad. There was one year, I feel like it was last year, the year before, where it was down like, I don't know, like 100K or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, you know what? Let me stop checking because I'm time will fix this. And time did. It's up 10% over the lifetime of the account, which is
okay.
Since 2014. Yes. Yeah, so almost 10 years I've been investing, and every time I open my investment account, I'm like, Shout out to Baby Mandy. She really started something, you know? She ain't had
you
much.
You want to be starting something. Got to be starting something. You want to be starting something.
So that felt good. I felt good. So I've been feeling, that made me feel rich. And then my first, you know this, the first 1/4 of my book money hit my bank account finally. Ooh. Meanwhile, I signed the contract back in May. So there you go. Publishing timelines, y'all.
Yep.
So I've got some end of year like tax stuff I got to figure out, and I'm like, okay, I need to text my, I just need to, cause this is the life of a solopreneur. Mm-hmm. I need to figure out how much to invest. Cause I don't have like a regular, other than like when I pay myself monthly, I do put like, some money into the investment account. I have to manually do it because that's ghetto because Vanguard anyway. And, but at the end of the year, I'm like, I ain't trying to get taxed on all of this. So I'm probably going to have to do some math to figure out how much I should just put immediately into my solo 401k.
Okay.
Before the year ends. But also, I feel like I might have until March. Sometimes they give you, right? Sometimes they let you like make contributions until the first, like the March of the year after for the year before.
For what?
Anyway, this is a lie. Okay. For some stuff.
Okay.
Tiff. Yeah, this is why I need an accountant.
No, it's true. Like, I literally was just signing financial paperwork this morning because, you know, because at the end of the year, you're right, especially for entrepreneurs or business owners, you're scrambling to see, what can I do? Like, so for example, I have been, you know, maxing out my retirement account, and there were some months where I don't even know. I probably didn't put in enough. So my financial advisor was like, let me see. She's like, Tiffany, you're short. Like, you know, if you want to max out, I was short maybe like $1,200 or something. So she's like, you know, let's go log into your account, update. So that way the next paycheck takes the full amount. So that way you've maxed out on your retirement and contributions, you know? Yeah, there's all these financial decisions that you're making. But not only just that, I sat down with my team so we could do our 2024 plan. And I was really proud.
Budgetnista team or the LRA team?
Budgetnista team. And so we decided to do something different. So there are the core members of my team. Logan, she's like the manager of all things content, and like are basically my main lead. There is Aikisha, project manager, and Carol, who is like logistics. And then we have Tajiri, who was our intern, and now she's like a part-time contractor who does like social media. So those are like the four core. That's the four core. And so I said, let me do something different. Because this year I have shifted my leadership model from where I used to lead from a place of protectiveness, where it's like I was the mom and I never let the kids know that sometimes we didn't have enough money for bread. I just would go without, you know, and it was like, everything's fine. Everything is just fine. That's how I used to navigate. Everybody was super happy and I would do a raise no matter what. And I would do bonuses no matter what. Like I never... No matter what was happening on the background.
Business, baby.
I know. I was like, I will manage the stress. And I did, child. I was managing it poorly. And this year I shifted because quite honestly, it was a really tough financial year. We made just about half what we made the year before. And I was like, I can't, like, I just couldn't afford to hide the secret anymore that we're having a hard time because people were expecting me to navigate in the same way. And so finally I was like, let me show you the books. And they were like, oh, it's not as cute as we thought. So all of a sudden though, what I realized, and this is what Dr. Green taught me, she's like, you know, when you protect people, you know, protection only makes sense if you really believe that the person or child or whoever cannot handle the ramifications of the thing you're protecting them from. So like you have kids, we're obviously not going to let Remy, you know, roll off the bed because girl. You know, but you might let Rio
have never done that before.
Not intentionally, but you might let Rio run in the park knowing like he is going too fast. He's about to trip, but he'll be all right. Cause he'll learn like, all right, I don't quite have the footwork necessary. And so she said that we need to let like in those moments, you know, Rio run in the park. Like, okay, he can handle the consequences of like learning the lesson. And so she said, when you do that with your team, what you're telling yourself is these adult women cannot handle, you know, the consequences of knowing like sometimes things are tight. And so she said, do you really believe that to be true? And I was like, I guess not. And so now, you
know. That was Dr. Green?
Yeah. She's awesome.
Her being a whole business coach.
I mean, child, so finally, I mean, because she knows, and just in general, that's the place I navigate from. Like, I'll take it. I'll do it. I'll be the sacrificial lamb. And so,
what did you call it? Like a chicken, the chicken leg or chicken thigh?
I'll take the small piece of chicken.
Yeah, the small chicken.
Yes,
okay.
I always will sacrifice. Like, if there's all this chicken on a plate, I'll just wait till everybody eats. And I'm like, I'll just take the small piece, whatever's left over. Matter of fact, I don't even like chicken. You guys go ahead and eat. I'll just starve in the corner.
I like so this air. Year,
we shifted that this year. And the way that my team has, like, rose to, like, the occasion, how brilliant they've been, how hard they've worked, how creative, how innovative. And I said, you mean to tell me all the time this was accessible to me? And so as a result, I said, how about this for 2024? Let's try something new. I want everyone to work in a capacity that they really enjoy. I want everyone to lead a project. So, you know, all the things we do here at Budgetista, but maybe there's something new or old or whatever. Pick a project that's going to be your project, just one that you're going to be on the lead for. And just one, because you're going to need the support of your other team members, but they'll also have their own lead project. And I was like, you know, and then you'll map out what it's going to look like for the year, how much you think we can make, you know. And so people, they're really excited, like, ooh, this is my baby that I get to raise and grow and look after. And I get to ask for help for my business baby from their business aunties. Like, hey, Logan, can you help me with this component? Or, hey, Akeisha. Because right now, sometimes they feel like they work in a silo. So this will allow us that when we have our company meetings to be like, report out, how's your baby growing? What do you need support with? What are you struggling with? So I've never done this before. So I'm actually excited to see what happens when everyone has ownership fully of a project and they're already really excited about it. So that was an awesome way to kind of like end the business year, you know, in that kind of way.
Yeah. So at the beginning of this year is when you kind of sat them down and did that whole, or maybe last year and now you're kind of
No, we don't have no money. No, girl, we didn't have no money until like Q3. That's where I was struggling.
But it was this year.
Yeah, I was calling crying to you, like, girl, we had no money. Everybody's asking for a raise. Remember, that was like Q3.
I know. You started getting a lot more excited by the Brown Ambition.
I know. I was like, how much are you making? Because I was like,
we used to not pay them no mind, and now it's like, so how much we got this month?
Can I get some porridge? I mean, because the Budgetista was paying me now.
No, but
I was,
for real, me too.
Yes. And so like, but it's good to have these conversations. I think everybody thinks like that in business, just because you've had a great year, that means you always have a great year. Like, and I can share this because she posted on social. You know, the woman Kalila, you ever heard of Mess in a Bottle? She's got like that awesome t-shirt brand, right? So she candidly posted on Instagram the other day that she just had a baby, I think 3 months ago, and this was a really hard year. And she's like, we made like next to no money. And after like, I think she's been in business 7-8 years of business, she's thinking about closing it down. She's like, I had to let go of everyone and I don't know what to do. And she's just like, this has been my baby, but I can't do everything. I can't pick up the merchandise, also manufacture it and then ship and then my baby. And she's just, you could just tell it was a lot. So I called her because I know Kalila. We just chatted and I share with her. I'm like, this is my worst year yet since I probably started the business. Maybe the first 2 years I shared how, I had to like cut. I really didn't make any money. And she was like, wait, you? I said, I think it's important that across the board that you get to hear what business really looks like, you know? And so sometimes there are years like this. And I said, if I'm being all the way candid, the reason why we survived is because during the pandemic, when so many of us made a lot of money, I instinctively knew that it was not going to last a long time. So just like in my personal finances, when I have financial abundance, I am like a squirrel when it's the fall. I work the hardest and I save the most. So I read an article during the pandemic that Microsoft had upped their savings from like 6 months to like 1 year's worth of operations expenses. And I was like, at the time, my CFO, her name was Shanta. I said, Shanta, how many months do we have? She said, like 2.5. And I said, let's try to get us to 6. So I got, our emergency savings to 6 months. And it was there for like the last like 2 years just sitting. And this year, I'm so glad we did it because we're down to 1 month of emergency savings, meaning we didn't make enough to cover ourselves. That had it not been for our emergency savings, we used 5 months of it, and it's now December. We have 1 month of emergency savings left, and thankfully we made enough in December not to tap into it. But if I had no emergency savings, I don't know. I mean, I probably would just have to give a personal loan from Tiffany to the business. And so I share that because, like, don't care what they be telling you in social media. Business is really hard. And you can have this successful business and everything is, and do all the right things and still have a year where you're like, is we gonna make it? Is we gonna make it? You know? So if it had not been for that savings, and she was like, Khalilah was like, why didn't you tell me? I was like, I don't, during that time frame, I wasn't thinking that. I didn't think I was gonna have some terrible year where I was gonna need to live off of savings. I just thought, if Microsoft is doing it, why shouldn't we, you know?
Yeah. Oh, why didn't you tell her to save? Yeah. Well, I mean, also when you say not making any money, like you have a staff, like you have a team too, that you're paying for. And it's like, you're making money, but the overhead is not meeting the, like the overhead is more than what you're bringing in. Right. But if it was like just
Tiffany. So now, we're making, we're making money.
Let's keep it clean.
Cause you know, you have to pay for staff. I know. Well, yes. Meaning like, yes. Cause our overhead, you know, is especially like payroll was like a lot in comparison to like what we bring in. And I really didn't want to do pay cuts because the truth of the matter is like I used to be able to say I pay like above and beyond what was considered like fair. If fair was 50, we was paying 70, maybe even 100. And now we like, we fair. I don't have money for excess, so we write about fair.
And like, so as a federal minimum wage still like $5, like
you know,
right?
You know, we because before you spent okay, but now I'm just like, the truth is that I was like, I don't want to make payroll cuts because things have gotten more expensive, and so I'm just like, that just what I much rather figure it out some other way versus to say, in order for us to stay alive, blah blah blah, I got to do a 20% cut. I'm like, yeah, but like inflation has increased everything, sometimes double, you know, so that just wasn't an option. And so figuring out different, getting really clever about how do we make enough to cover our expenses. Thankfully, we have savings. The team got to see them. And for 2024, they know that there won't be any raises. It's looking pretty decent already. We have a few contracts that are signed and locked in. And then I said, instead of raises, we're going to do this profit share every quarter where whatever money's left over, normally that's an owner's draw. Mandy and I take an owner's draw from Brand Ambition every month. If we've made money, which means here's how much you made for the month, minus the expenses to run the business, this is what's left owner. As an owner, you can draw down or withdraw it. And so I told them, instead of giving you a raise, I will set aside 20% of what I would normally draw out for you. So that way, and then they will, I will divide that among the team based upon what they currently make as an income. And so that's the way that they'll get a bonus or a raise without getting a raise, because it allows me to give them more money only when the company is profitable, you know? So it's like never hurting
the
company.
That's like a really,
go ahead.
Yeah. And I think that's such a great model as a small business, because that's what you are. You're not like a Google or Microsoft that just prints money all the time or, you know, has all these enormous savings, or could just go get, not that Microsoft and Google need to raise money, but you know, these like Silicon Valley darlings can just go ask some venture capital for $100 million. We haven't made it. We haven't turned a profit in 10 years, but give us some money. We'll get there. And they're like, okay. Anyway, that's, and you've shared that before. And I just think it's, it's really smart. It incentivizes them to, you know, have skin in the game, right? By having skin in the game, but also gives you the flexibility to not treat yourself like, you know, a big tech company or like a big, you know, corporation when your income is like a little bit more volatile because of the structure of the Budgetista.
And I think that like, you know, you might be listening if you have a business and like, it might not work for you. So you always want to find solutions like, and this might work this year. This is a weird thing about business. It's like, I'm assuming like raising kids. You're like, oh, like what works for Rio? And Remy's like, girl, you tried it. It's something new over here. Like, I don't roll like him.
When I tell you my baby is crawling and he's 6 months old.
No, he's already on the move.
Well, I always love your transparency. And also it helps me. I mean, it helps our listeners too. Like, wait a second. Didn't they just say this about the business? And like, didn't they just say that, you know, and this new thing? And it's just like, you're just watching us live figure it out.
Yes.
And I feel a little bit like it's a relief to, I feel like I've finally grown up and like you were my big cousin who I was like, oh, she has everything figured out and all the things. And we never really used to have in-depth conversations about the business. I just sort of like took for granted that Tiffany has everything figured out. But the more I've gotten into it, you've been so even more transparent. I feel like about how things are going. And it helps so much. Yeah, it helps. Mm-hmm. It really makes probably listeners, but certainly me, feel more normal, you know, just like, oh, this is the way it can be sometimes. Yeah.
You know, you share a little bit mm-hmm. with like your friends who don't have businesses, but then when you really have a business, because then you're like, now you're able to process the fullness of like what it looks like. That no one's too successful yeah. to have a bad year. No one's too big to fail. Like, look at Sears, look at Lord and Taylor, you know, like mm-hmm. and the moment you really fully understand and respect the fact that your business month to month, year to year, quarter to quarter really requires like your eye on it. And so, you know, you put things in place for the times. That's what a huge lesson that I learned is you have to put things in place for the times when things are not good.
Well, a year ago, we were celebrating that you 1.2 million worth of contracts, which actually happened. But mm-hmm. the thing about entrepreneurship is it's a contract, but is it like fully executed? You know
what
I mean?
Through. Like, they all fell through. Yeah. Well, not all of them. Well, no, that's not true. I would say about half of them, because two of the major companies yeah. were like, we ain't got it, you know? And I just was like, wait. Yeah. So that was, you remember you asked me, you're like, but I thought you said, I'm like, girl, they were verbal promises. We want to work with you so much. I had contracts with them the year before. They said, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then this year they either didn't have the money, didn't have the capability. And so half of them mm-hmm. went through. So about 600,000, you know, but the other half were like, we'll see what next year looks like. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You just never know. Cause I mean, 1.2 is more than enough to cover all of our bills. So I was like, at least our bills are covered. That means we just looking at straight profit for next year. And next year was like, oh, look at her celebrating early in the end zone before yeah. crossing whatever football, like, you know, metaphor I'm trying to make. Like they tell you don't celebrate yeah. too soon. I was celebrating too soon.
Oops. But I also think it's like, it's such a good also reminder to diversify, because yes. that was heavily, especially in the, when you're all these influencers, especially ones who like you are getting speaking opportunities mm-hmm. or a contract to speak or to partner with for a certain, you know, a certain number, like length of time or a one-time event or whatever. That marketing budget is so the first thing to go
first.
When times are tough mm-hmm. and it hurts. And then the other parts of the business got to like sort of carry you.
Yeah.
And it's good. So I'm glad you're in front of me, because I'm also like, okay, the speaking stuff is cute, but I always think of that as my sprinkles. It's not my cake.
Yeah.
Like the cake has got to be, which puts more pressure on me.
Mm-hmm. What's the product or service that you produce outside mm-hmm. of like what a brand can pay you? Because with brands, it can sometimes be really feast or famine. You uh-huh. know, that if they're rocking with you, you're like, ew, I'm rich. And if they're not rocking with you, you're like, but wait, I thought you told me I was your favorite girl. So, yep.
and that's so a horrible feeling, because this is no different than working in corporate. I ain't trying to. You know, like I don't want to go back to that. I feel like they own. That's just too stressful for me.
Yes. Like, so your own. And that's been, if I'm being all the way candid, like the Literature Academy, I figured out this is the business model. We don't get any corporate money from unless somebody like sponsors like people. So we make money from us internally, but the budget needs to, like, I've been really struggling with like, what's the business I'm in? Because I used to be like, it's the business of Tiffany. Right? I speak, I teach in books and whatever, but I'm like, that's not sustainable, because I don't always want to dance for a dollar. So that's mm-hmm. been the question. What is the business that the budgetista is in? And I have been really ruminating on that all year. And I have some ideas like, well, we're in the business of like community. We're in the business, like I know community is part of it. I'm still trying to figure out to get really clear so we know what products and services to create just for Budgetista, because I can't have a year like this now where someone can say, here's 600,000. Psych, thought you had a contract. Like I can't play that game again. And so we have some opportunities coming up to help us kind of like have some, our own internal product services and things like that. But yeah, that it taught me like, okay, you have to get clear. If you are, especially if you are the business, like, you know, mm-hmm. like I, that's why I love what you're doing with Mandy Moneymakers, right? Is that you've gotten really good at like, I help women how to negotiate. I coach, I, you know, I'm you have your digital products, you have your community, you know, versus it just be like, I'm in the business of showing up as Mandy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So because it could be easily that, because I don't have a like, I mean, yes, I have these books and stuff like that, but like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have like a Budget Nista product. Does that make sense?
So
like,
you really look at Literature Academy separately from Budget Nista.
Yeah, it is
now.
Two separate companies.
It's almost like this. Yeah.
It's like Brown Ambition. Yeah. And I'm glad
you
said
that. Like, you started the Patreon and it was like already a six-figure business.
Yes. Yeah. So, like, yeah, but that's what I was learning. That's why I started the Patreon. Because I said, what does Tiffany? And so that's why I said, maybe you're in the business of communities. Because I started Patreon. Mm-hmm. And yes, it is a six-figure like business within the business of Budget Nista. So I'm like, well, what other ways can I monetize community? So this, I'm processing as I'm talking, because these are the questions I'm still asking myself, you know, because you will just make yourself crazy and exhausted if you don't get clear. And I'm still trying to really get clear that, like, other than Tiffany being the product, because that's what it is essentially right now. I am the product, right? What other product do we have or service do we have? And I'm like, okay. So
there's,
you'll see,
so
more
much
things rolling
fruit
out
on your tree, though.
Like, I know.
It's almost like your problems, I hear, not your problems, but like the challenges you're facing, I'm hearing you, but I'm also like, there's no scenario in which you are still not successful because you focused on the most important aspect of business first, which is building trust, faith, you know, and reliability, like building that trust with your community, authority, you know, your authority, the fact that you've always shown up for them, the fact that they love you so much, you know, and trust you and show up for you, and they and they you know, the Dreamcatcher chapters you had, the walk that you did, the wealth walks, you know what I mean? So I'm not even, I mean, I know you're like, I still gotta do the work, but as far as me, I'm just like, oh, I feel, I mean, it's easy for me to say because I'm not in it with you, in it, but I have so much faith. I mean, you're fine, like, you're going to be great in this pivot that you're going into, because of the last decade that you've spent focusing on the right things. And I commend you for that. And I also try to also, like, I think about you like a little, you know, why do I want to say tiny elf?
Elf on the shelf.
Little elfanita on my shoulder.
So, but I'm
just like,
as
think
I
about
learned,
the people. Think about the people. What do they need? Focus on
them. Yes. And that's what we would do. So, but I'm excited to share. You know, I love to be like, Mandy, I think I figured it out. And that didn't work. Oh, I'm trying to. So, but to your point, I do feel fairly confident that whatever it is will be fine. But I'm just mindful. You always have to be mindful of the money, obviously, because I'm just like, I want to make sure that as I'm navigating, even if it means making less for the next year or two, that, you know, we're always covering costs. And so I don't mind, bless you, I don't mind having tight years if it benefits the longer growth strategy. But you know what I mean? So I'm just like, okay, as long as I'm always keeping an eye on costs, like, what can we do to reduce them? Every year we do an annual audit of all of our expenses and to say, do we need this? This is too much. Can we renegotiate with that contractor? Can we pay less here? Can we pay for this for the year so we can get 20% off? You know, you pay like a monthly for whatever, like, tool or resource, like, ooh, can we pay that for the year? So these are the types of things that, you know, I'm always keeping an eye, like a good owner and founder and CEO understands that the money in a business is literally the life's blood of the business. I don't care how smart you are, how brilliant you are, anything, that if you don't have money flowing through the business, then the business will atrophy and die, you know? And so, like, I mean, we've seen it, like, you know, people go bankrupt, even though they have this amazing idea. And so, like, it's not enough to be good at a thing. It's also like, okay, what's the money looking like? What decisions can I make to make sure that the flow keeps flooding? And so, yeah, one thing, I think one of my superpowers is, like, I don't mind being transparent. And so I will always ask the question. I'm like, well, how are you doing it? I will expose everything. I'm like, so here are all the ways that we're making mistakes and had challenges. Yeah. You know,
I can't stand, how boring, how impossible would this show be if we weren't transparent? How impossible would it be? The stress of faking it, you know, or putting on a front, you know, feeling so, it just feels so safe here. Even though we're talking to each other and we have a bunch of people listening, it just feels safe. Like, and that's what Brown Ambition's all about. I'm just so damn proud of the show and proud of us. Yes. And I think that's why people keep rocking with us, because it's so boring. You don't want the heroine to win on the first episode.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
They're holding up by the seat of their pants, like, is it gonna make it? Oh, she.
I want to be the Grey's Anatomy of podcasts. You know what I'm saying?
It's a turn. Like, wait, Tiffany still lost $600,000 worth of contract. I did. And one of them is because I wanted more money. So I pushed for more because I was feeling myself. They're like, girl, you tried it. We'll pick somebody else. I was like, well, go ahead. And they did. And I was like, ooh.
Oh.
I was trying to go. I was like, Mandy,
sometimes that happens.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And I was like, you should see my face.
The fences.
Girl.
The higher you fall, the higher you reach.
I mean,
for.
It wasn't a little bit of money. Like, you know, they were offering me like, I don't know, maybe $300,000-$400,000. So it wasn't like, oh, but I was like, no, I think I'm worth this. And I still do. And here's the thing, they had it. Don't blame me. They had it. But I was just like, so when they were like, yeah, okay. I was like, oh, okay. And then here's in the beginning of the year, I was feeling myself. I said, because we still have plenty money. And then we didn't. Yeah. And then you start thinking like, I'm not going to lie. I went back. I was like, hey, boob. Hey, big head. How you doing? You still? Because that was tough. I had to ring the ex back up. Was like, and they were like, girl, I thought you say you was cute outside. I was like, I did. I lied. But they still said no. It was the best no ever, though. Because had they come through, had I taken that money, it would have made us complacent. There were so many internal leadership decisions that I needed to make that I didn't realize were critical decisions until my back was against the wall. You know, I would not have stepped up. I would still have been like that parental leader that like everything is fine. The team would not have been forced to step up. I would not have been forced to step up with a different way to navigate payment and finances. Yeah. And so it was, that was the best. And honestly, when I say it was the best $400,000 or $500,000 I missed out on, because it forced us to grow. And as a result, like, you know, we'll probably 2 or 3x what we made the year before. And so I'm grateful for that no, because it taught me, one, it like really humbled me. Like, girl, you ain't too cute to say no to. You know, and then two, it forced my hand to like elevate and grow.
You're not going to stop negotiating though, just because.
No, I'm not. Girl, bye. Okay. I told her. Yeah. Because I'm like now, because don't let me get my product off the ground or whatever we're going to build. Because then it's like, I'm sorry.
That is what I struggle with. And I know we need to, we said 20 minutes.
It's impossible.
We tried it. Don't worry, I'll do one of the QAs myself. But yeah, like that's what I grapple with all the time is I'm inspiring women to ask for more, but I can't just leave them there. I have to also teach them how to keep asking for more when the answer is no, not yet, or yeah, oh, we changed our mind, or you're not ready yet. And those moments are the real difficult part. You know, it's not always going to be I asked for more and I got it. Yay. Mm-hmm. It's, you're right. It's, you may know your worth, but then it's like, how do they see your worth? There's always other factors at play. And, how do you stand tall through that and keep pushing? And yeah, thank you again. Your transparency is golden and, always teaching, always learning through the ups and downs. That's what it's all about. So you guys are lucky. You found the right place if you want real talk.
Yes.
What a good way to close out.
Yeah.
What's been a really, I know ups and downs, but what a wild year. My gosh. My gosh. Really proud of you though.
So our final episode, we're going to throw the break real quick and we're going to come back with the boosty breaky for that behind.
Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. All right, BA fam, you know we work hard and we play hard, but when it comes to investing and having your money in the market, you want your money to be working for you. That's exactly what the Betterment Automated Investment and Savings app can help it do. Keeps your money out there working hard and kicking you know what. I love Betterment because it makes it easy for even a beginning investor to figure out how to put their money in the market and set it and forget it and be at peace with that, because you know Betterment has got you covered with their automated investment and savings app. Their technology is going to give you advanced tools that are built to help you maximize those returns. All you got to do is visit Betterment.com to get started. Learn more about high yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank. Hey, BA fam, our fellow entrepreneurs and creatives, this message is sponsored by Squarespace. It is the ultimate toolkit for crafting your online presence. With Squarespace, it's really about more than just building a website. It's about shaping your online identity and making your mark. So say goodbye to checkout headaches with Squarespace's flexible payment options. From credit cards to Apple Pay, they've got you covered. And if you live in an eligible country, they offer buy now, pay later options with Afterpay and ClearPay, which means that your customers have even more ways to purchase your products. So head over to squarespace.com and kickstart your journey with a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, don't forget to use our link squarespace.com/brownambition to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Just visit squarespace.com/brownambition to get your discount today. Remember, your online success story begins with Squarespace. So what are you waiting for? Let's build something extraordinary together.
Hey, BA fam. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. That's incredible. This is according to Indeed data and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 150 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Okay, it's smart. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/brownambition. Just go to Indeed.com/brownambition right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/brownambition. Terms and conditions apply. You need to hire. You need Indeed. We're back. And now it's time to boost or break or boost or break or boost or break or boost. Are you going to boost? Are you going to break? What you going to do? What you going to take?
What you going to take?
Hi. Can I start first? I was slapping my thighs. Can I go first?
Yes, you can.
I'm going to do a boost. I always liked Brown Ambition, but I want to say I feel like maybe this year I fell in love. You know, like it's just been for real. Like, it's not that I've never loved Brown Ambition. Obviously, I'm here, but like, I don't know, something about this year. Maybe it's because I needed the money. It was here for me. I'm laughing.
I think it's us. I think it's us.
It's just, I will say that.
Stronger.
Better, yes. I mean, me and Eva have always been friends because we started off Brown Ambition as like friends, but you know, we've just seen
But not friends. I think it was a perfect, not to like take over your boost, but it doesn't.
No, go ahead.
But I always say the best thing about us is with our business is like we were more like we treated as business partners first.
Yes.
And we weren't such good friends that we thought we'd get away with stuff. You know what I mean? Like, we showed up business first.
Yes.
And for a long time, it was more like that kind of relationship. We only talked on the show. And, you know, and I think in the past few years, it has shifted. And now it's like we get to be besties and also enjoy.
I'll be coming to her house at dinner. And so, like, no, I think you're right. I think that's what it is that our personal relationship have just gotten more robust and stronger. And so, as a result, like, I love Brown Ambition even more because I love Mandy so much even more. So yeah, I mean, we get to see Beyonce. I mean, I feel like that solidified, like, oh, like this is my friend. And so I just want to boost.
You gotta have high highs and low lows with your good friends, right?
Yeah, you do. You do. And so you get to really see like what the stuff that they're made of. So I just want to boost around Brown Ambition. And I want to boost. Well, I want to ask for help because I have decided that I need something to like, I'm realizing that like I love being outside and I think I want to run a 5K, which is about 3 miles, okay. Right? Is that what a 5K is? So I've never.
3.2.
So I've never run a 5K before, just run in general, just, you know, a nice little brisk walk. And so I'm, Dr. Green has taught me like, you know, put a plan on the calendar. So I want to find one in the spring. And so I need an app that's going to help someone who has no experience to get ready for a 5K. You know what I mean? I know that there's like couch to 5K, but whatever app, and you know, just at me at the Budgetista, whatever.
You're not really a couch to 5K person.
Child, you ain't seen these knees.
So, but you walk for a long time.
I do, but still, you know me. I'm a slow and steady wins the race. So I would like a beginner's app that like, in 9 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever, gets me like ready for a 5K. But that's also interesting and kind of fun. So if you have a suggestion, if it costs money, that's fine. If you have a suggestion for an app, because I do. I'm gonna. Remember we had Brandis on, so I'm taking the advice of one of our guests on Brown Ambition, Brandis Daniel from HFR. Remember I said that one of the things I most admire about you and Brandis is that you guys are both great executors. And I asked her the question, "What is a tip you can get for executing?" And she said, "Pick a date, then make it public." And so I'm going to look for 5K. I'm going to look for 5K for real. I'm going to look for one. And then in the new year, I'm going to make it public with y'all. And then that way I can be like, you know, because I, you know, I'm going to be like, how's the 5K going? Huh? So
There's so many 5Ks. You're going to have no problem finding one.
Yeah, so I'm excited.
Well, my mistake was making a 10K my goal for next summer. Ooh. And even though I said I'm giving myself a break, I'm going to run that 10K.
Okay.
Because I said I was going to do it.
Yeah.
And it's locked in.
Okay.
Damn it.
I'm like, no, I'm not ready for nobody's 10K. I'm not my knee. But a 5K, I'm excited.
Girl. But that's exciting. Yeah. And you know who's going to help you? One of our most loyal, faithful listeners, Amelia. This is your moment. Amelia has followed we were roommates when I first moved to New York. She now lives in Texas, but she has just been such a faithful listener of the show.
Okay.
I feel like she only reaches out about the show and I'm like, what about me? But anyway, she is a marathoner extraordinaire. Okay. She's a health runner. Okay. I mean, a health writer for a bunch of different publications. Anyway. She's going to get you together. She listens to the show. Great. Amelia, this is your
slide
DM
to the
tip.
DMs. Tag me on Twitter, whatever. What app do you really like enjoy? You know, like, yeah, I'm not a hyper beginner, but I don't mind starting with the super beginner app because I'm still going to continue to do my walks like in between. But something that's not just about the run, like I want to make sure I maintain my overall, you know, like health. So yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you? Are you boosting? Are you breaking?
Oh, I forgot where I was for a second. Oh, we're working. I have to do a boost, right?
Okay, yes.
There's so many things to boost. Like just in general for the year, I want to boost that I did the damn thing I said I was going to do.
Okay.
I said baby, book, business.
Yes!
Baby, book, and business. The three Bs. And I had the baby and he's extraordinary. The book is happening. Mm-hmm. I'm working on chapter 2. It's due in the spring, which seems so close. Mm-hmm. And business-wise, I somehow managed to keep Mandy Money LLC like still happening while I'm writing the book, which was my goal. I still have some shifts to make.
Okay.
So I can take, I need to take my foot even more off the pedal in Q1 so I can get this book done. But I'm really, really, I just want to boost that I said I was going to do these things and acknowledge it because yes, some days it does feel like, how am I doing? Is this okay? Like, you know, some days I'll have like my doubt demons are raging and I go on LinkedIn just to look at jobs, just to remind myself that there's options out there.
Yeah. Well.
But then quickly I'm like, I don't want none of these jobs, these ashy jobs. I don't want them. but yeah, just really, really proud heading into the new year. I really want to make it all about making this book the best it can possibly be and not thinking about anything else having to do with it, like the marketing, all that. I just have to make it really freaking good. And it's like the only thing I can see right now. It's like a, I'm like a, there's like a red aura around everything I do. It's just like the book. It's like this huge beacon. And I feel so damn lucky to be able to do it. And I just want to enjoy the doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's my boost. Okay. And, last regular show of the new year. We'll still be in y'all's ears with some BAQAs, y'all. Yes. But thank you so much.
And look out for the literature challenge. I will share more about it. Because you'll still hear some shows, but like, look out for the challenge, you know, my free challenge. It's going to be the credit edition. We're still working out some details, but it's free as per usual. Launches in January 8th, I think. That's the second Monday of the new year. You know, we did the savings edition this year. 300,000 of y'all signed up. And so I'm excited to help even more this year. You know, I've been doing the challenge off and on for like 10 years now. So I'm excited. Remember I partnered with you, Mandy. Remember, was it Credit Sesame? Credit something.
Magnify Money.
Yes, we partnered. Yeah. And so that was awesome. I think it was the credit edition.
The very first LR you did. The Literature Challenge at Yahoo.
Yes. I mean, so yeah. So it's just really like, it's my love letter to y'all, you know, the challenge every year, because it just enables me to help those, especially those who might not have the funds, you know, to get this kind of like step-by-step guidance. And so it's my gift, the gift that keeps on giving. So just keep looking eye out for more information about that. But it's always available, I think, at liverichardchallenge.com. But I don't think the credit edition is up just yet. So just keep an eye out. I'll be on the socials and things. But have an awesome holiday season and awesome new year. Yeah, we love y'all, honestly.
See you next year.
Goodbye, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, adieu.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.